Hi.
Hi.
I think I'm ready.
You are?
I think so.
I'm ready.
Why don't you start? So
what socks are these?
They look like some wrestling ones. What does that say? Nacho Libre?
Yeah, something like that. You know what that means?
Or Lucha Libre?
Yeah, Lucha Libre. Who is Lucha Libre?
I'm not sure. Do you know who it is?
No, I got them as a wonderful gift. Nice woman. She handed me some socks she brought for me. And then I gave her my sock.
Oh, is this the person you let lick your foot?
I didn't let anyone lick my foot.
Someone came up to me at one of the live shows. It was Tempe. And they go, your dad just let someone lick his sock.
Yeah, well, I gave two people each one of my socks because there were two people that brought me socks.
Okay.
And I said, if they bring me socks, they deserve a sock.
Mm.
So I was swapping it out and doing stuff like that.
Nice.
Because typically I always do crazy things, you know, when we go on the road, typically different than what I do when I'm in the studio.
You are a little wild.
And I try to explain to them that, you know, that they don't get the other side of me because I have to be serious here because we're dealing with serious stuff.
Do you have to be serious? You could lighten it up a little bit.
I can try, but you know, when somebody tells me that, you know, when they present a real issue that's hurting them, I don't find it where I can make fun of them or fun of the situation.
Who said you're making fun of them? No one. We would never make fun of one of our family members, but you can still bring a little lighthearted.
I'll work at it.
You know?
I'll try.
Just not making fun of our friends.
I mean, for the people that don't know me, I'm not funny.
Well, it's family. It's a tight-knit family.
And for the ones that get to see me at the show, so I really do recommend you guys go to the show.
He's unhinged at the shows, you guys. You will not recognize him. He goes from like this calm, cool, collected to
insane,
ripping tequila shots, letting people lick his socks.
No. I just give them the sock. The socks come with, like, you know, we used to call it the
sure. Sure.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show tonight. And we are here for this week's episode that will be airing Tuesday morning in the middle of the night sometime.
Yeah. I mean, it's 6 hours away from when we're supposed to have it up. So I've got some hustling to do after we record.
What's today? Oh, this is for tonight.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
So let's not screw around. Let's get right into it.
Yes. So today's theme we have is time to set a boundary. I think we've talked a little bit about boundaries on another episode, but these stories gave the vibe of like, it is time to set it. The time might've been even yesterday. So let's see how
to set it. Should we make a stamp called boundaries and stamp it? Boundaries.
We should. Yeah. We've done boundaries and we've done iffy boundaries in the past. So this is like, boundaries is just a hot topic. And I think it's one that it's sometimes hard to identify when you need a boundary or how to enforce a boundary, but it's time to set a boundary.
And I find that is the number one thing with people that I know, but boundaries are a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
It's not uncommon.
They're not easy.
And they're not uncommon. We definitely have to make sure everyone understands how to set the boundary and get people to recognize and live it with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Let's do it.
All righty. I'm right with you.
Okay, up first, the house next door got put up for rent and things with the new renters / my next door neighbors have gotten weird. Living next to me for less than a year, they were originally peeking into my windows and waving excitedly when I saw them. Anytime the window was open, they talked to me through it. I started shutting my blinds, which sucked, but the problem was solved. They have twins under 8 and they just got a puppy from an infamous puppy mill in town. Even after I suggested many reputable rescues after they asked. The questions and requests have just escalated, from them asking me to teach their children how to interact with their new dog. They were hitting, kicking, and picking up and throwing the puppy so it landed on its head. I gave her advice the best that I could. The behavior has seemingly stopped, at least as far as I'm aware, but now she wants me to train the puppy. And on top of that, has continually started requesting that I do the socialization of the puppy since I have a dog. I would be fine with this if it was on my timeline, but it is always, quote, my kids get home at 3, let's do it then, when I never offered anything and work 2 full-time jobs. Ideal outcome, to just be able to let my dog out without having to constantly explain everything I'm doing to justify why I cannot do what they want right that second. My previous and other neighbors and I really kept to ourselves. I live alone and love being alone and doing my own thing. It's not like I don't like them. I just don't understand why their dog is my problem. They have admitted they're in over their heads and have never had any sort of pet before. I don't like confrontation and obviously don't want to be uncomfortable in my own home. I don't know what to do.
Conversation.
Set that boundary. Set that boundary.
But it can be a nice...
Set it. Break it down.
All right. Now, can I get into this?
Yeah. All right, that was fun though.
Oh, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Conversation. And it doesn't have to be confrontational conversation. It just really is, you know, invite your neighbors over or one or the other. And or out, meet them and say, let's have coffee outside. Pick a day where it's kind of nice out there and say, we really need to have a conversation. And these are the things that I would like to see if we can understand. You know, I am a private person and I do enjoy having new neighbors. And I think that you and your family are wonderful. However, I'd like to make sure that we understand that my time is my time because I work and I do this and I do that, whatever those items are.
Yeah, I mean, 2 jobs.
And I would like you just to, you know, if you want me to let you know when I am available, I'll be glad to, you know, text you the night before and say, gee, if you want to do something, I can help you at this time and place. Or if you can't do it, say, here are a list of people that train.
Bingo.
And go see them. This is if you don't want to be involved. And it sounds like being involved with them is a no-win anyways. So, you know, set those boundaries of what you're willing to do under the conditions you're willing to do it. And that way there's no misunderstanding and no one can say, gee, you know, that person's a bitch. Mm-hmm. But you're really saying, I want to help you and this is how we can get along as neighbors. And going forward, also make sure that they know, it makes me nervous when you guys are so friendly, but when you pop into my window.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Say, that's unacceptable because I have people in my house sometimes, or I don't dress sometimes in my own home. This is my privacy.
That's crazy.
And that's not to be tolerated.
No.
That's a
coming up to someone's window and talking to them through it. Like right. You're coming up to the screen. Like, you should not be that close to my house. I don't care if our houses are built right next to each other.
This is the old Mr. Ed show where the neighbors would come in and go to the little, you know, Scandinavian door and say, hi, how are you? Or just walk in. We don't have that lifestyle anymore.
No.
We're in the year 2024.
Yeah. And our writer here does go, I don't even have their full names. Like, we've never hung out or anything. Mm-hmm. They just happen to live next door. So it's like, you don't even know their first and last names. They have no right coming up on your property, coming in through your, talking through your windows like that. There's a thing. It's called, what is it?
Boundaries.
Boundaries. Yeah. Yeah. So for me, I look at this and you don't really want to be involved with them. They sound chaotic. They went to a puppy mill after you told them not to. Who knows what health problems this dog is going to have? Like, you know, they made their choices. They're not good ones.
But that being said, when you give someone advice, you're allowed to give them your advice. And then, but you have to also recognize 90% of people don't take it.
No.
They do their own thing. So don't be insulted by that.
But also I don't think you need to involve yourself.
No, you don't.
I think what I would do personally, I would look up, this is as far as I would put my energy into it. I would look up a Petco, a PetSmart, whatever the nearest one is in your area, and you say, hey, you know, I don't really have the time to help you with your dog. I looked it up. There's classes at Petco you can take your puppy to. I would highly recommend doing it. They bring you through the training. It's a great way for your puppy to get socialized. Do this.
And
this is what a responsible dog owner should do. You guys say you're in over your heads. I think this would be really great.
I'm going to offer you one more little tidbit.
Okay.
It's not, you can't train the dog. It's you train the owner to work with their dog and discipline their dog and train their dog. It doesn't work if somebody is training the dog and you say, here's your dog back. So I think it's better that you say, you know something, all I can do is guide you to go find a place because you really have to be the person to be trained and then you train your dog. And that's what they do. They show you in these classes.
Yeah, you hope so. I mean, I fully believe there is an epidemic of bad dog owners right now. The amount of people I see videos of letting their dogs off leash, run up to other dogs and misbehave, bite, attack. It's just not, there's a really interesting dog culture right now. And I don't
think this has been around for years?
Maybe it has. And maybe I'm just like really on that side of things right now. But I do think like every single person should have to take their puppy or new dog, whatever, to classes to ensure they know the best way to handle their dog, right, take care of their dog. Just looking it up. I mean, it took 5 seconds to find this. Mm-hmm. Petco offers a $39 private dog training. It's a basic private 101 for your pup's first training. And there's a whole class as low as $24 a class. So if you can't afford to take your puppy to one class for $39, I don't think you are in the financial position to even own a dog.
This is all true.
So
and it's that step one class.
Up and they need to go. You can involve yourself as much or as little as you want. For me, my involvement would be none except printing this off or taking a screenshot and saying, hey, I don't have the time, but here you go.
It's not about I don't have the time. It doesn't work unless you are the dog's master and you know how to work with your dog.
Yeah, but
and it really is, Morgan, probably 8 classes 1 week apart. It's a Saturday probably for 8 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, there's a variety of
best results.
Different class options you can do at Petco, PetSmart. There's so many. They also have free puppy playtime, but I don't necessarily... I'm not a big fan of dog parks. I actually think they can create a lot of issues with dogs. So I think it's better to like go sit outside of a park with treats. And every time your dog engages with you, you reward them. You know, that is socialization. That's neutral. You want your dog to be neutralized. You don't want some crazy excited every time I see a dog, I go fucking nuts dog. Like you want chill, neutral.
Well
balanced.
When you were born, I went to 8 Saturday classes on how to raise your daughter.
Yeah. Daughter? Oh, daughter.
Oh. How did it work?
Yeah, Petco has an all-in class.
She blew me off.
$149. You learn alongside other dogs and pet parents 1 hour per week over 6 weeks.
Ah, voila.
And what's the math on that? 149 divided by 6?
It's nothing.
Oh my God, I clicked times not divided. $24 a class.
It's
$24.83.
It's perfect.
So print out the flyer, give them the info, but sit down, have the combo. Don't look through my blinds. Because no one wants to keep their blinds shut all the time. We need sunlight. If you have houseplants, they need sunlight. We need sun. It helps our health.
I think it's just a nice conversation, but it's certainly going to be direct to the point and not to be bitchy about it, but to be reality. Helpful that they understand this is the way you are with neighbors so people don't get offended and go get upset and ruin a good possibility of a good relationship.
Yeah. And honestly, if they do not take that message, see if you can put up fences, whether you have to go through an HOA, but you can find really affordable fencing options at Home Depot. They come in like 8-foot sections and you just dig like 2 holes on each side and pop it in and... there you go. You got yourself a fence real affordably.
Yeah.
Like you deserve your peace and to not get wrapped up in their chaos.
Okay.
Moving along.
We're going to move to number 2. I'm going to hold up 2 fingers for the people that are on Spotify. They know that I'm holding up 2 fingers.
You mean YouTube?
Well, YouTube's going to see it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Spotify can't hear.
Yes. You do need that audio description.
I'm doing it. So here they go. How many fingers am I holding up? Say it with me.
2.
There you go.
Hello, FKS and THT fam. I've been listening since the beginning, but first time writing in. I'm sorry for the length. There's a lot of context. I'm 24 female and struggling deciding if I should wait for 25 male. We met 3 years ago at work and became friends quickly, becoming a situationship after he broke up with his then girlfriend. We didn't mean too much to each other, although I did care for him more than he did for me, which was evident in how he treated me. Eventually, in summer of 2022, I cut him off as he wasn't treating me right and I was tired of doubting myself. In June of 2023, the way I ended things with him was really getting to me as I made mistakes in the relationship too, and I reached out to him. He was excited to hear from me and we immediately started seeing each other again, back into a situationship for a few months. Around fall, I started to catch feelings for him, but he didn't feel the same way, so we decided to stop sleeping together and just be friends. Well, a few months ago, some intense things happened in his life that I am still supporting him through, and we got closer. He said he loved me and had feelings for me, and shortly after, we started sleeping together again. Today, we are quite literally in a relationship, without a label. We spend almost every day together, hold hands in public, tell each other we love each other, communicate through any issues and work on them together, support one another, literally everything you'd expect in a couple. Except he says he is still not ready to commit, which confuses me. He says he's not ready for the full responsibility of a relationship, which makes no sense to me as we've already taken on that responsibility to each other in so many ways. He says he's only with me and has no interest in others as I make him happy. And he will even refer to me as his partner and says he loves me like you would a committed partner. But I feel like he's letting the fear of what could happen control him. He says with how chaotic and uncertain his life is, he just doesn't feel like he can have a committed relationship with me and doesn't know when that will change. I feel crazy, as if he doesn't seem to understand why I'm confused. I don't know if I should wait for his life circumstances to change and we can be together, or if I'm just waiting for nothing and disrespecting myself by putting up with a non-committed, committed relationship for this long. My best friends are even lost on his reasoning and don't know what to tell me, as it's obvious he really does love me. I want to wait, but the overthinking gets to me, and I start to wonder if I will wait for months longer and he still feels like he isn't ready. I don't want to pressure him by putting a timeline on how long I will wait. I want to respect his choice. However, I also want to respect myself in letting me continue to give myself in this relationship without committing to him, even if he is giving himself to it as well, just without the label. I'm so lost on what to do. Any advice will be appreciated.
I'm going to let you start this one.
I don't think I should.
Well, I think you have some recent experience that what you went through for a few years and how it rolled out, and it took time, but I'm just curious if you want to share. See, I'd like you to just jump in on this one first.
I have a really hard time with this one. I've been in a few relationships like this, and in my experience, they're never ready. You're a placeholder until they find more of what they're looking for. In my experience, waiting doesn't work.
Well, I'm ready now to give my thought now that I'm clear. So since he is not willing to say, it's just you and me, babe, then you got to say, I'm glad to see you. I'm glad to date you. And yes, we are going to be intimate, whatever our relationship. But if I see somebody wants to go out with me and I think he's interesting, I'm going to keep that door open. I may not, I may. We don't have a committed relationship. I'm not telling you I'm breaking up with you. I'm just letting you know, if I'm telling you I'm busy on Saturday night, don't ask why I'm busy. Don't go there. Because to take down that wall where you can't ask where I am or what I'm doing is you saying, I am in a committed relationship. Now, do you think that is wrong?
No, I honestly, my advice to her would be start dating other people. Because I don't want to be in the position to ever tell someone you're wasting your time, mm-hmm. and then she leaves, and then that's her biggest regret in life. Like, mm-hmm. I would never want this show to be that. I think, however, like, he's not willing to commit to you, then I think it is fair to
not commit to
date
him.
Other people. Like, I think he's expecting that commitment without actually having to commit. Mm-hmm. And for me, there's a saying, and I don't know why this popped into my head, but it's gone around on social media and things for a while now, but it's a saying where women are not rehabilitation centers for broken men. And I think you're putting all this energy and work into this man and being there for him and bending over backwards to support him through something really mm-hmm. difficult, but yet he's not willing to commit to you. Mm-hmm. And I've seen many, many times, whether it's with my friends or through, you know, things on social media, these people that bend over backwards for these guys and go through this same stuff. Mm-hmm. And then they create this perfect person for the next woman. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's kind of a shitty thing where it's like, you deserve someone who is going to commit to you. Mm-hmm. But, you know, maybe he is genuinely going through a tough time right now. And maybe he's very scared. Maybe there's some trauma there. So for me, I would have a really serious conversation and say, obviously you've gone through a lot. I really think you should pursue some therapy for yourself. Maybe you can get to the bottom of, you know, why you're scared, your feelings, inability to commit. In the meantime, I'm still here for you. I do care about you, but you're not ready for a relationship and I do want one. So I am just saying, like, my options are open.
My door is open. The window's open for other options.
I would be interested to know how that conversation goes because I think it's very telling how people respond. Mm-hmm. I know friends who've had that conversation with people and the minute they did, oh, no, I'm ready. Mm-hmm. I'm ready, because they didn't want her with anyone else.
Well,
but they still wanted the option.
Right. But she still said right in the beginning, we're able to talk. We're able to have these.
Yeah, they're communicating. So they should be able to have.
That's what this conversation really is. This is the convo.
Yeah. It's a tough one because I've been in a situation. I really, really liked this guy for 4 years and we were friends with benefits, situationship. I flew to Germany to go watch him play hockey. And we both ended up here in LA and I would drive to go hang out with him all the time. And I always was waiting for him to want more. And I was like, oh, you know, timing's not right. He's abroad playing hockey. And when he comes back, it'll work out. No, like, I think there's a definite, like, when they want to, they will. I just think effort is a big part of it. Like, people will show you who they are and you just have to take it. But I know love and feelings are really hard.
The conversation. And just be brutally honest that, you know, you do love him, you do care. But if someone knocks on your door, you find them interesting, you're going to go out for dinner.
So say she has this convo mm-hmm. and, you know, she gives him time. But what if he is saying, I don't want you to see other people. However, I'm just not ready.
Until you say we are in that relationship, my door is open. That's what it takes to close that door, is a committed relationship. I didn't say you have to say we're getting married. I didn't say we have to have a ring on our finger. I said that we are in a committed relationship. There is no one else to cause pollution in our life. We don't have to have that worry. That's what we are. That's where we are. If you're not ready for that, then the answer is we are welcome to date. We will continue our relationship. But if a man that I find attractive that says, are you busy Saturday night? And we're not doing something Saturday night. I may say, I want to go investigate and go out Saturday night, but I'm not telling you what I'm doing. It's none of your business. If they're not giving it to you, you need to reinforce that rule. I'm glad to go see and don't spend every night with them.
No, you can't be too available. And like, I hate that it feels like games or mind games sometimes.
But it has to be.
There's no incentive. What's the point when he can have his cake and mm-hmm. eat it too? Technically, if he met someone and wanted to go hook up with someone, he can.
That's right.
Because you're not in a relationship and it's not cheating. It's fair because he's said many times. Mm-hmm. So you just need to decide, as tough as it is, how long you're willing to wait.
He's got to ask you out. He's got to make plans with you. And if you fall into that trap, it's a tough trap to get out of.
I mean, I was in it for 4 years with this friends with benefits. I have this take on this one because I've been there and mm-hmm. I went from that to Justin, who went above and beyond to show me he was interested, engaged. I mean, it was a contrast. I remember texting Lauren and being like, is this what it's like when a guy actually likes you? Because it was so different than anyone I'd ever been with, even guys I dated for years. Mm-hmm. That level of effort and care and consideration and planning. And I mean, it's amazing when you find someone who genuinely likes you. Mm-hmm. No, ideal outcome for this one too. We love each other. I want us to be together, but also to know how I can set boundaries for myself in terms of how long I can realistically wait, as this is starting to weigh on me mentally.
Well, let's imagine she has the conversation not that far, you know, my brand of what I'm saying. And he says, okay, that's fine. And then Saturday night, she's out. She's not available. And he's really in love with her. He's going to be coming unglued at his house. What's she doing? But at least she was, I've been here. I've done this. I've been on both sides of the fence. I've been him when someone has said that to me. Said, I don't know if you're my person. I am dating still. You want to go out with me with those rules? Great. And I said, sure, I want you to be with the right person. And if I'm that person, that's great. And I worked hard to be that person. And let me tell you, she went out on dates and she did call after the date.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
I mean, I think it's hard because like that can also feel like a have your cake, eat it too for certain people. Like she gets to go on dates and get wined and dined, but then still gets the emotional relationship of you. So I think there's a fine line.
Or the emotion of finding somebody that really does want her.
There's a fine line in this. And you really, as hard as it is, you really got to trust your gut and feel it out. I think it's really challenging. I think if it goes on too much longer, you're going to end up even more crushed, even more hurt. So you really got to kind of have like a timeline in your head of how long you're willing to wait, whether it's 6 months, a year. But if you know he's your person and he's not seeing it, then I would call that a mismatch. Like I talked about this with Justin and I did say like, you know, if we hit the 5-year mark and we're still not engaged, like as much as I love you, I also love myself and I want certain things in my life. I do want to get married. I do want family. I do want this. And realistically, that takes time to build in a relationship and my clock is ticking. So if you're not ready, that's okay. But it just means you're not my person.
I got it.
And that's a tough boundary to set. And so I think there's a difference between an ultimatum and just clearly outlining what your expectations are.
I do not think that she needs to give him the ultimatum. I just think that she needs to play by the rules that we are not a couple. We are not committed. And she has the full opening and she has the obligation for herself to meet other people right fucking now.
We'll see if she's willing to do it.
Boy, let's see what happens on that because we're going to get a lot of ride. And some people are not going to like me on this one. But
It's hard. It's love is hard.
It
and
is.
You can't read people's minds. And everyone comes with their own unique set of, I don't like the word baggage, but baggage.
I just say don't close the door until you find what you want. And everyone wants the same thing. Keep that door open until you are sure this is the person and both of you agree upon it.
Keep us posted.
All right. That was a really good one. All right. We're going to go to number 3. I'm holding up 3 fingers, by the way, for people on Spotify.
Hey, Dad, Morgan, Justin, Holly, and anyone else listening to my problems. The issue I'm, female 27, having is my relationship with my mother, female 61. There's a ton of background info about our relationship that I've already discussed with my long-term therapist, but I still can't settle on a solution, if there is one, that feels best to handle this situation. The problem is that I simply do not respect my mother as a person. My biggest grievance against her is that she has been dating a married man for the past 10 years. This man was her teacher when she was a senior in high school. They split up and then reconnected 10 years ago and began their affair. Ever since they've been dating, I've felt this wall between us grow even wider than was already there due to the part she played in a good deal of my childhood trauma. Now, don't get me wrong. My mom is a generous lady, and she has been letting myself, my husband, and our two kids live with her while we are looking for a house amid this ridiculous housing market where we live. Her boyfriend lives in her home state, three states away from us, and when she goes home to visit my grandmother, she arranges time to spend with her married man. Now, as a married woman myself, I do not understand her thought process beyond wanting to fulfill her sense of loneliness with no regard to harming this man's wife. I don't want to hear her updates about when she's going to visit him. I don't want to hear about the gifts he sends her. I just don't want to hear about her relationship at all because I think it is so shameful, and she is quite shameless with her involvement with a married man. Now, I understand that it takes two to tango, which means I also don't like him and luckily have only been forced to meet him once in these past 10 years. If my mom were a friend doing this, I would cut her off because I can't condone this behavior. However, my nuclear family and I are dependent on her for having a place to live for the time being. I guess I just need advice on how to look at my mom without feeling ashamed and embarrassed by her decisions. Ideal outcome, to be able to either express my boundaries of not wanting to hear about her relationship without her getting pissed and kicking me out, or to be enlightened by your insight to find a new sympathy for her in case I'm being a horrible daughter.
I'm processing this because I see where you are, and this is an integrity issue, and you're having issues with her integrity of what you want to find acceptable, because how anyone would feel if they knew that someone was cheating with somebody else, and how you would feel if you came home and you found your husband has been cheating for 10 years with somebody else. So we all bring it within to our own boundary. And it's back to integrity.
Is it integrity though? Because I hear this story, and for me, I feel like I need more context, because she mentions that this relationship started when this man was her teacher.
I got it.
And she was in high school.
I got it.
And I hear that dynamic, and I see a serious potential abuse of power, grooming, and abuse. That is a place of privilege as a teacher.
I got all that.
And so I'm maybe wondering if the mom and this affair has to do with the trauma of being groomed as a child by him.
It could be all of the above.
So for me, if you're trying to find a place of sympathy, I feel like that could maybe be context. Like, is that what happened with your mom and this teacher? Because that's a very inappropriate relationship.
I was trying to help her to make the division in her brain. How can she cope with this problem? Because she's not going to change the problem, and she can't get out of the house right now. And if it was somebody that was simply a friend of her, a friend of hers, she would walk away and say, "This is your problem. I just don't even want to be around it." But she's living in this woman's house, and she wants to be able to cope with living in her, and find the map, the path, how she can deal with it. So she has had this love forever. She's not breaking it.
Abuse can work like that.
So are you going to tell her go?
No, your mom is going to do what she wants to do. However, you can maybe look at it in a little bit different of a light. If that helps you not resent her and hate her and not respect her, yes, an affair is wrong. Mm-hmm. Absolutely wrong. It does take two to tango. However, your mom might have been groomed. This might have started from a very bad, inappropriate place. I mean, people handle trauma and abuse in their own ways. I mean, for her to go back to him after being married and having a kid, like, something really was pulling her in there. So.
And what happens if he was just a 23-year-old guy out of college that.
Still inappropriate. That's a student.
Okay. And now she's 61 and he is 66 years old. My biggest thing is, how come he just doesn't leave his wife?
He gets to have his cake and eat it too. He gets to stay married, not break up his family, and have his cake that comes to town. Like, some people are just whacked in the head.
Okay. So how does she deal with this? Whatever way she can, but basically just say, "Mom, this is your relationship. This isn't, I really don't want any part of it. Mm-hmm. I don't condone it. I'm not going to tell you what to do. You're a 61-year-old woman or 62-year-old woman, and leave me out of it. That's all. Don't involve me with it, because my values, for whatever my values, how they got here, that's what they are. And they are not to condone having an affair with a married man. That is a blessed relationship. If he wants to leave his wife and marry you because you've been together for so long or have had this torrid affair and love for one another, great. That's a different conversation. Then he's part of the family. But he's not part of our family right now. He has not decided to make that commitment. And I have an issue with it.
Yeah.
And that's where I was leading to, just saying, whatever we, without us really knowing more facts, and I understand your drift, and I see that. And I get it. But I really do believe that at this point, she has to say, I just don't want to be a part of it.
Well, absolutely. And that is within your right. Do you run the risk of your mom getting upset and kicking you out? Absolutely. But if that is what you feel you need for your mental health and mm-hmm. your integrity, that's fair. I think you can say it in a way that it's just like, you know, mom, like, it just makes me a little uncomfortable hearing about your relationship with him. Like, can we just not talk about it? I think you can say it as easy and light as that without using the words like, I don't condone your behavior. I don't agree with what you're doing. Because I think if you start using words like that, she's going to get defensive and feel shame.
I am absolutely agreeing with you on the way to present it.
Just light. You know, it just makes me uncomfortable.
I just don't want to hear about it.
I just don't want to hear about it. Light. And if she has an issue with the light way you just said it, then you know you really can't broach it or push it further. And you have to decide, is it worth staying in that house mm-hmm. with her? Or do you find somewhere cheap you guys can rent until you can, you know, get something else? Like, you're going to have to pick your battle on that one.
And also, I have a question that she can also ask, that she can even ask her mother. Does me staying with you have to involve me saying, I will listen to what goes on with you and Dave? Because, you know, I'm going to give him a fictitious name,
yeah.
Dave. Because I really, again, I love you and I love being a part of us having our life together and our experience. I just don't want to be involved with the Dave experience. And if that's part of the rent that I have to listen to about Dave, yeah, we are going to have to make a different choice. I just don't want to hear about him. I want you to enjoy your grandchildren. I want you to enjoy, you know, me as your daughter. I want to be able to enjoy you as my mom, but I just can't swallow that pill right now.
Yeah. And I think something that I've personally had to deal with is like, you're not always going to be happy with who your parents are with. Mm-hmm. And it's at the end of the day, not your life. Mm-hmm. They're your parents. And it is what it is. Like, roles are reversed, say, mm-hmm. and you were with your husband and your mom hated him, mm-hmm. didn't respect you because you were with your husband. No matter the reasoning, like, would that be fair for your mom to not respect you? And, you know, obviously you're not having an affair with her. Like, there's apples to oranges in a sense, like a little bit, but, you know, we all make choices in our lives and like, just love her for being your mom mm-hmm. and not, you know, who she is choosing to be with, because that can be very, very challenging, especially when you see that the partner is not good and toxic and whatever. Like, it's really tough. It's a tough position to be in. Let's just read this additional info first, and then let's see if we have any last thoughts on this one. My mother and father had a nasty divorce when I was 9. Didn't co-parent well. My mom tried dating for 7 years after my parents' divorce via meeting men at bars, online, etc., but never found a partner that stuck around. When I asked about her relationship years ago, she almost broke down in tears, saying this relationship was better than being alone for the rest of her life. I just also struggle to sympathize with her because she's putting herself in a horrible position as an older mistress. If her boyfriend dies, she would be a fool to show up at his funeral. I just can't understand the appeal to being someone's mistress to a man she won't be able to fully love.
I just look at the fact that this has been the man that she's been in love with all her life, for whatever the reason.
It's hard, too. I think for women, as they get older, like that's something I've heard mm-hmm. from my own mom. I don't want to be alone the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. And that was also a reason she was not in a very healthy relationship. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. Dating is hard when you're 20, 21, 25, 29, 32. Mm-hmm. Dating's always hard. So if you have a shot at love, what she thinks is love, what she feels is love.
She's taking it.
She's taking it.
Mm-hmm. She's taking
However, whatever form it comes in. And it's just shit. It sucks. But it's your mom's choice at the end of the day.
Yeah. I mean, I get her mom. I get her. Mm-hmm. And I realize that she is a woman with number of years left. And she says, I'm going to live my life and get as much out of it as I can. If I can spend this time with him and I love him and we can have that time together. That's a decision that two adults have made and they're going to do their thing.
Yeah. It's a tough one. I get why you're upset with her and don't respect her. But if you can set the boundary of, I don't want to hear it, then it really doesn't affect you. Mm-hmm. And you just got to let her live.
One other thought.
Okay.
If you see her with him, that she's happy when she's with him and she comes back and she's been fulfilled. I have no idea what goes on in the other relationship, what he has with his wife. I don't know if it's a relationship of conveniency of not telling their kids are getting divorced.
Yeah.
They hate each other.
We don't know.
We have no idea what's going on in that dynamic, whatever the reason is. But if your mom's coming home and she's feeling happy and fulfilled, try looking at that.
Yeah. Love, life, it's tough and weird.
And it's short.
It's like you just got to take every moment you can. But I really hope that their relationship didn't start on a bad, gross foot. So, you know, there's a lot that could mm-hmm. let your head wrap around this a bit more and try to set the boundary. Mm-hmm. Okay, moving along.
Okay, we're going number four.
What number?
That's number four.
Okay. Hi, Jerry, Morgan, Justin, and family. My father-in-law, 50, has been living with my husband and I in our two-bedroom apartment since September. He lost his job unexpectedly in July and lost his townhouse because he couldn't pay his rent. He didn't have anywhere to go, so we told him he could come live with us for 7 months to get back on his feet. We thought it would be plenty of time for him to find a job and save enough money to move into his own place. It is coming up on 7 months, and he still hasn't found a job, and his unemployment runs out on the first of the month. I am struggling because I don't want to leave him with nowhere to go. But my anxiety and depression have been slowly declining these last 7 months because it's hard to feel like I have space in my two-bedroom apartment with all three of us. He is asking for more time, but I'm not sure how much more I can take. Ideal outcome, I'm not sure. For my mental health to be better and for my father-in-law to get a job so I can feel better about him moving out.
Your father-in-law is 50 years old. He's a young man. He ain't an old dude. He's 50 years old.
He's a younger guy, yeah.
He's young. He can certainly go out and find something to do if he really wants to work. Because look, I've been here. I've had tough times as well.
And I would say it's interesting you're giving that advice, though, because you also had an issue with pride and going and getting a regular job.
No, but I also had work that I was doing that I said, I can't abandon this. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I was bringing in more money even during that period of time than I was going to make doing the other thing. And it did. I was correct in my assessment. You may not think so, but certainly did. So that is...
Yeah.
That's what I see. I see that he can go out and get a job and do something right now.
Why do you feel like he hasn't been able to in 7 months?
We don't know enough. We have no idea what's really going on. We don't know what his job was. We don't know if he's in Michigan where there was a huge, you know, the auto workers were all let loose. There was nowhere to go. The towns are disintegrated. We don't know. I have no idea what his trades are. We don't have enough information.
I think there's like this, at least for us, like I think we talk about it a bit in like our group T and, you know, seeing stuff online, but I feel like there's a lot of, I don't know, like lies of all these companies being like, we're hiring. And then you go to apply and they're not hiring or they don't hire. And there's We had one listener that literally said they applied to like 200 jobs and still couldn't get hired anywhere. And they weren't even being picky. They were applying to places that were beneath their education level. And I just wonder if he's genuinely been trying. You know, it's don't really know. Hard.
We don't have enough information.
What would you do in terms of timeline? Would you say, okay, like you have 2 more months and then after that, like we're genuinely done. We need the mm-hmm. space.
Mm-hmm. Say, I love you, but you have, you know, if you want to say 2 months, but you have to show where you're really making the effort. If we have to be a part of, we want to be a part of the knowledge of what's really going on for us to sacrifice ourselves to continue this.
Yeah.
Because this is wearing on all of us. I mean, you make a joke or serious that you would love for me to live next door to you or live in your garage or whatever it was when I get old.
That'd be nice.
I don't think it would be very nice. I think
why?
I think that I would absolutely make you crazy. No. I know that we love each other.
You can babysit the horses. It'll be fine.
You know, I'm an independent guy.
You're a tornado is what you are.
So the answer really is that you have to really let him know that that this is not going to be a long-term. It's not like he's 70 years old and he's got a number of years left and he can't do it. He's 50. He is a young man,
yeah,
vibrant, able to go out. He can do the things. Look, I'm 66 and I'm still out pounding away.
Ripping tequila shots at live shows.
And forget that. When I go to work, I am still climbing over shit. I'm still knocking nails. I'm still pulling things apart. I'm working.
Yeah. Maybe he's got his own mental health stuff going on. Maybe you can talk to him about that. Mm-hmm. But 7 months, like, that's a decent amount of time. He's asking for more time. Obviously, you don't want to kick him out because, you know, knowing, you know, you sound like a caring person, like kicking him out might hurt your mental health more. So I think it's fair, like, okay, you know, another month and then we really got to talk, but like, let us help you. Let's go on Indeed together. Let's do this together. Let's maybe go to career shop.
Career counseling. I was going to say there's career counseling there.
Yeah.
A lot of the universities and the local colleges have new job training things that you can learn AI. You can learn things where he can come back. I don't know what his training is.
Yeah, what he was doing.
They do have alternate training to retrain people, and there's money for that. And it's part of the unemployment, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely options. And I also think in the meantime, look after your mental health and like start getting out of the house. A 2-bedroom apartment, you feel cramped. You don't have your space. You can't have your room to breathe. You're walking on eggshells because you got, you know, someone else living with you. Go find something out of the house that brings you joy. A pottery class, painting, sewing class, going to yoga, whatever it is. Start getting out of the house and make it a hobby or something that really gets you into a state of flow and helps your mental health.
Mm-hmm. I'm certainly not suggesting you become enemies with him.
No, it sounds like he's trying.
Right.
Maybe like,
but
maybe he's been out of the job hunt. Like he was at a company for 30 years and doesn't even know how to get a job now.
Career counseling.
Yeah.
Do different things.
Yeah. It could be good. Maybe word of mouth. Like talk to people you know. Maybe someone they know is hiring somewhere. Like word of mouth is so impactful.
When I lost my business, I took 4 months. I sat at a hospital with my mother as she was ill. And I taught myself AutoCAD. Self-taught. And today I went to a client of mine and I brought in a drawing that I made and it was an architect that I was working with. He said, "Who made this drawing?" And I said, "I did." And he goes, "No one in my office does it this well."
Wow. That's really cool.
And he goes, it looks like a picture. And I said, he goes, "What are you doing?" And I told him, you know, that did an AutoCAD. And he goes, "Unbelievable." So it goes to show you that when you're older and you may lose something, you can be trained from some of the skills and things that you've seen to apply them for something different.
Absolutely.
And that's what I'm trying to point out.
Yeah.
In that little story.
I think he absolutely could find a new path. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just sitting down and showing him there's more out there.
And just for everybody, let me share, we're going to be going through a real tidal wave. with AI and how it's going to introduce and take some jobs and open up new opportunities.
Yeah, might not even have a podcast replaced by AI.
There's a lot of things and fear going on. No one knows, but I'm looking at all the opportunity. When I went to the supermarket the other day, and I said, "How do we manage?" I go, "AI can manage this parking lot."
See, I want all the human connection I can get. I love when my grocery person checking me out talks to me. I love people. Like I'm a hermit most of the time. Mm-hmm. So when I do go out, I love people. Like I hate self-checkouts. I hate automated shit. Mm-hmm. Like I don't want AI. I want humans. I want to feel connected. So.
And those stores will charge more for the groceries than you can get that.
I'll be going to that Whole Foods with that person there.
Anyways, let's move on to the next story.
This is our last one.
Okay.
Number five.
Let's go.
There's a juicy one, guys. Buckle the fuck up.
Put them on.
Put them on.
Do you have it? You have your buckles?
I've been buckled. No. I knew what I was dealing with today. Nice. I don't like that last sound. No. Might need a helmet.
A helmet?
Need a helmet. Okay. Okay, this writer goes, I made a new friend last year at school, and we got really close because we both worked as servers in the past and knew a lot of the same people, and we are now pursuing the same career in nursing as mature students. She is married with two kids, and I've been single for nearly 6 years, waiting for the right guy to come into my life. I have so much respect for her, and we have genuinely similar outlooks on life and life experiences. A couple of weeks ago, she asked me if I would be willing to work a catering job with her and her husband. I said yes, because I'm always willing to help out a friend. Well, when I got to this catering, I was floored. I have never been so attracted to someone in my life as I was to her husband.
Oops.
We worked together fine, and we all went out for a drink after, and I had too much to drink. I got sick, and they brought me a bucket and water. Next thing I knew, I was waking up in the morning holding her husband's hand. I would like to point out that while I thought her husband was cute, I never made a move on him. So I don't know how I ended up sleeping on the pullout couch with him in the middle and my friend on the other side. As soon as I was sober enough to drive, I went home and felt horrible guilt about what happened. Unsure about whether I should tell my friend what happened or if it was even anything. Later that night, her husband messaged me on Instagram and told me that she was still sleeping. I saw it, but I didn't answer because I didn't know what he was trying to start. The next day, my friend texted me, and I apologized for staying the night and said that I appreciated her taking care of me. I continued to feel guilt, but I also thought of her husband just in like a celebrity crush kind of way, where nothing would or could ever happen. Fast forward to Tuesday, and I get a Facebook friend request from this guy. I didn't accept. I got a message from him too, quoting something funny that I had said when I was drunk. Next thing I know, I have the same message coming from my friend's phone. I just answered, haha. At this point, he answered from her phone saying, quote, it's me. Friend is upstairs with our kids. I said, quote, oh, okay. Have her call me when she gets a chance. Then I get another message from her husband on Facebook saying, quote, ignored. At this point, I responded, calling him out, saying I knew what he was doing and I was the wrong person. We were going to work another catering job that next weekend together, though, so I wanted to be civil. I apologized for being drunk the other day, and he said, no complaints. I hope you had fun. I was worried because I didn't know what happened with him when I was drunk.
Right. She could have blacked out. She could have had a total blackout, and they could have had a total affair, and she has no idea.
But if he was talking like that, it couldn't have been good. He gave me his number and told me to text him. I said, no, I'm good. I told him to appreciate his life and be a good person. Then he told me to text again. So I did, and I called him out again. And the next thing I knew, we were texting about everything and anything until 5 a.m., and it certainly wasn't all appropriate. In less than 24 hours, we sent 2,000 plus messages. I was studying with my friend the next day, and I had never felt so much guilt in my life. Well, we worked another event on the weekend. I tried to back out, but my friend didn't get back to me, and I didn't want to leave them high and dry. I also saved the day because I brought a few things they needed for the event that they didn't have. Well, after the event, we were cleaning together and her husband kissed me. He wanted to do more, but I felt so guilty, I left. I have seen my friend a couple of times since then, but I never want to see her husband again. He is very dreamy, but I have already been such a shitty friend, and I don't think I can fix it.
You're asking me my thoughts on this one?
Well, we do have ideal outcome and additional info. Do you want to give your initial take first?
No.
Ideal outcome, I can get over my guilt of this situation and be strong enough not to talk to her husband again or be the blame for the ruin of my friend's family. Additional, I have to go to school with this girl for the next 3 years. It's a very, very small program. We also come from a very small city, and I know all the same people as this couple from all of us working in the restaurant industry for so long.
Ready for me now?
Let's do it.
Okay. First of all, if she blacked out and really, and I imagine she blacked out, and who knows what really happened.
Did she black out or was she roofied?
We don't know. We just know that she has no recollection of what really happened.
Yeah.
My answer is, in your mind right now, nothing happened, and I would stick to that story in your own brain. And the fact that he has crossed the line and he's married with his wife saying first what was going on or what may have happened if she knew it, then stay away from him because he's a pig.
He knows what he's doing. He's playing this flirty game. Text me. And then you bite in and you text him, girl, what the fuck are you doing?
Boundaries. There you are.
So boundaries.
There's where you have a friendship. I don't care how dreamy he is. He was really a rat. And if he did it to her, he would do it to you.
He would, 100%. Is he so dreamy? Is a guy who's married with kids and stepping out on his wife dreamy? Fuck no. I like the word rat. But rats get a bad rep when they don't deserve it. He is just pawn scum, bottom of the barrel pawn scum. I want to drop kick him into orbit. He is such a piece of shit.
But if he did it with the wife and they were a part of the same thing and wanted this polyamorous relationship and they roofied her or they knew she was drunk. They either way, the wife should have came clean with her right from the beginning. I hope you had a good time. We had a lot of fun with you.
At least
not make her feel the guilt what she may think that she has.
But honestly, like maybe they all just went back and nothing happened.
That's right.
And he's trying to play this sly implication game. Like I've slept on a bed, me, Justin, Lauren, all together. Like I've done that with previous boyfriends and my friends. Like you can innocently all sleep in a bed one night together.
Absolutely.
Especially like after a night of drinking, having fun. Like I think maybe he's making it out to be more than it was to then make it easier for her to cross that line again. It is weird. And the sad reality is you put yourself in a tricky, tricky position by texting him. You shouldn't have done that. You've crossed the line. And I honestly think it would be very, very fair if this woman never wanted to be friends with you again.
Your instincts of not answering were the right ones.
Yeah.
What do you do now? Just cut it off.
Don't respond. Don't put yourself in a position with him. Like, as much as you want to help with the catering gigs, I wouldn't do it, especially if he's going to be there.
I would.
Get through school. Like, if you are in a small cohort and there's any drama, it is so, so brutal to be in. I went to grad school with 27 people. Towards the end, luckily, like my program transitioned and you start going to, you know, your practicals and your field work, which you would do as well. But one of the girls, we went out one night and we're at the bar and she pulled my shirt down. I had two drinks in my hands. I couldn't grab my shirt. So there I was standing in a bar, topless, as she pulled my shirt down because she thought it would be funny. And I literally like whip around, set my drinks down. I go, in what world would that be fucking funny? And I had to deal with her for another year and a half, 2 years.
Who was this? Where was this?
Not going to name names. It was my grad program out here. We went out to a bar in Venice. And being in a small program where you can't get away from someone is such a bad feeling. So,
well, let me ask you this question.
Just don't. Like, don't put yourself around him. Don't talk to him anymore. He is married.
I got that. Let me ask you a question. she's, if the girls were friends, is it appropriate for her to still be friends with her friend? And does she have to give up her friend, or can she just say, I want be normal as her friend, but say, look, I just don't want to be involved in any of this other stuff? Or should she even come clean saying, look, I don't know what happened that night, but if there's anything inappropriate, I feel very uncomfortable with your husband.
The problem
and him
is
reaching out to me.
The problem is that night happened. Then she decided to text him, and then they worked another catering gig where they kissed. She writes it here as, well, after the event, we were cleaning together and her husband kissed me. It doesn't describe her reciprocating. We don't know. But either way, it was more than just that first night. The first night, they were holding hands when they woke up. The wife was there. Odd, but okay, not the worst. To me, it only gets bad when she started texting him. Mm-hmm. That's where you cross the line of you just disrespected your friend texting her husband, knowing what he was doing. You called him out and you said, I know what you're doing. And yet you texted him. You bit the bait he was putting out for you. And then he kissed you. So I'm all for telling the truth. But I do think it's going to be a bad situation for you where it's going to be kill the messenger. I would not hang out with them. I would, like, doing the catering stuff.
Well,
I think you can still be friends.
Does she come clean with her girlfriend and say, look, I feel awful. And I try to resist this. And this is what happened on the second event. I don't want to have any of this continue. And I don't want to lose our friendship. But I'm going to be honest with you and direct. And if you don't want me to be your friend, I respect it. But it's owning up to it. It's taking it. As a responsible person and getting rid of all that shit that happened.
There's two ways you could do this, right? You tell her,
mm-hmm.
and then by path A, there's two options. She takes it well, or she takes it terribly and goes around telling everyone at your program, you're a home wrecker. You texted my husband 2,000 times in 24 hours. He showed me the messages when I confronted him. You're a terrible person. You kissed him after cleaning catering.
He kissed me.
He said, she said. We have, who's to say?
And she's saying, she might
believe the guy she's been married to.
And
with
she said,
kids.
And she could even say, we got into the, and I told him not to, but I did text him back. We got into texting and it didn't stop, but I'm stopping it. But I want you to be aware. I don't want to be a liar.
Or you go with step B from the start and you don't tell her. You remain friends. You don't ever text her husband again. You don't interact with him again. And you finish your program. And, you know, there are some people that would say, Morgan, if you don't tell her the truth and come clean, you're a shitty person. There's some people that are in that boat. There might be some people that are in the boat of, put your head down. Don't ever talk to him again. Get your program done. That's her livelihood. That's her future. Mm-hmm. You know, this guy is the one that owes this wife the respect to not step out.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, you were her friend. You owed her that respect not to flirt and text her husband behind her back. So it's a really precarious position to be in. But boundaries going forward, don't cross them. Clearly define them. Don't text him. I am going to let the people vote on this one because it's a tough position to be in. And a lot of times with people that tell others that their partner is cheating,
mm-hmm.
the messenger gets killed. And I don't want to see you sacrifice your potential career and your money that you've invested into your education because you created, there's such a hostile environment now in your nursing program and you can't stay. So
be your friend, but you'll never be true friends.
And that's, yeah. I mean, like, also you need to, like, analyze in yourself. Are you telling her, are you coming clean to assuage your own guilt?
No.
Or is it truly for her benefit?
I'm coming clean. If it was me, I'm coming clean because I want to be an honest person. If there's any hope of us ever being really friends, I know that it has to happen right fucking now or it never will happen.
Our writer needs to ask herself that question. Mm-hmm. Are you coming clean for your own benefit of getting your conscience not guilty and, you know, clean? You know, I don't, mm-hmm. it's a fine line, but I would love to hear from you guys, the listeners, on this one. I'm really, really torn. I don't know if it was me in this situation. It's tough because you could tell her and all she has to do is confront her husband and he just has to show her the 2,000 right. messages.
If she comes clean with her girlfriend, she has to bring the 2,000 messages up right from the beginning.
You're definitely not friends after that. I'll tell you right now. I'm so sorry. And I love you for listening. But if I found out that one of my friends texted my fiance, even not even my husband, 2,000 messages within 24 hours behind my back, and not, she says here, not all of it was appropriate.
Right.
You're not being friends again. You got a really tough one, but boundaries going forward.
So continue the lie.
We're going to let the people vote. There will be a poll on YouTube for this one. Head over to YouTube. Tell us what you think. It's a tough one. It is a very tough one. And there's a big future ahead of you that you also have to consider. So I would love to hear everyone's vote on this one. I'm very torn. Me personally, I would come clean and just recognize that this person's not going to be my friend going forward and deal with the cards as they fall. Maybe she is. Maybe she is your friend. Maybe you're not the first girl her husband has done this to. Maybe you're the straw that breaks the camel's back and she leaves him.
We don't know.
We won't know until you do what you're going to do and tell us. Keep us posted.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Wow.
I ended on a doozy.
That was a doozy.
I know. I feel really bad for you too. Like I'm coming across, I feel a little harsh, but it's a tough situation.
What was my opinion? Did I ever give it?
No, I don't know. Tell her the truth.
I always say keep your integrity.
Yeah.
It always works out better at the end of the day, but that's me. And
yeah.
Oh, well.
Time to go edit. I only, you know, this one, it's going to be
all right, guys. This was a crazy show. It really took us down. It took us down a wild road. So I thank Morgan for finding these stories because she hunted them. She got it. She came up with the theme and wow. And do we have a Patreon or we do not?
We are going to have some amazing Patreon stories. I've already got them loaded, but okay. I don't have time tonight. I got to go edit.
So good night, everybody. We'll see you out there and we'll certainly see you next week.
Yeah. And we have group tea scheduling the end of May. So you're hearing this. You have plenty of time to come join us on Patreon. And you don't need both on Father Knows and Two Hot Takes. You can pick your Patreon platform and buy that tier and you still get group tea. And Father Knows is a bit of a bargain.
Because Dad shows up.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, everyone. Bye.